VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network. Well, increasingly, energy is being used as a weapon against the American people. By this, I mean that Americans are being denied the use of energy, or there are such curbs or penalties or denials on the use of energy. And then when you couple this with the attack on personal property rights and your own personal property, you produce a government that is overreaching and one that's out of control. Citizens, on the other hand, are rising up in opposition to all of this. But a person who's been in the battle for a long time is with us today. We welcome back Tom DeWeese, the president of American Policy Center, one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics education, and American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. Tom is also the grassroots coordinator for CFAC, Citizens for a Constructive Tomorrow. Tom, thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk.
It's good to be with you always, Jim. Thank you.
Well, Tom, the burdens being placed on the American public by the overreaches of government is more characteristic of a communist dictatorship than of a constitutional republic. What's happening?
Yeah, there's no question about that. They haven't even changed the playbook, you know, the communist playbook. It's, divide and conquer is number one, and getting rid of private property rights is right up there at the top. And when you don't have property, your own property to stand on, how do you declare your independence, your ability, you know, your freedom to speech, or anything else if you don't have your own property? Now it's all government property, and they dictate to you what you're allowed to say, and if you violate that, then you're in big trouble.
Yeah, if you think it's your property, guess again. I mean, just stop paying your taxes for a year, and you'll find out what happens.
Yeah, this is what I'm asking people to do across the country, and going into the city councils and so forth, and ask them one question. What can I do on my property without your permission?
Hmm.
You know, it's become nothing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, we're going to look at a number of issues here today, but Tom, you've just returned from speaking on Ohio. Tell us what's happening there.
Well, there's all kinds of things happening there, and the Ohio seems to be a breeding ground for a whole lot of these things we're talking about. I did two talks there. The first one was in Pataskala, Ohio, and the problem they're having there is the Chinese moving in, and they are planning to build a monster solar panel assembly plant, and they say it's going to, have about 800 people working there, and Pataskala is a little tiny community of like 17,000 people. This is going to absolutely change the entire culture of that. What we're having there, what we're seeing, is that the lead company in the project is called Illuminate USA. And it's really not a company, it's a shell. And it was designed to get around U.S. regulations that would prevent a foreign company from owning property. So 49% of Illuminate USA is owned by LONGi, which is a partner with Invenergy, which is a Chinese corporation.
Right.
It's all a shill. And what they're going to be able to do then is, first of all, they will be saying that these solar panels, where all the materials for it are coming from China, are made in America. And then they're going to be open to receiving a whole bunch of government money in all of this. And local activists there who have been trying to fight back, trying to stand up to this, are up against a mayor and a city council that see dollar signs all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That this Illuminate USA is going to bring in all this money for the community. And they have, the city council, the mayor, have literally called any of these American citizens who live there radicals that need to be ignored, that they're just causing trouble and trying to hurt our community. And you know, that's what's going on there.
Tom, and when you said this, I'm just, my ears perked up. My radar went off because the Epoch Times just reported of a wind company backed by an entity of the Chinese Communist Party that's taken the first step now to sue two small Wisconsin towns because these towns are passing ordinances to protect them from these wind and solar companies that are trying to manipulate landowners into, you know, signing their property rights away in the name of green energy. And now there's a group, they report, Marathon Wind Farm, Marathon County, Wisconsin, filed a notice of claim against two towns, Eau Plaine. Tom, this is a population of 750 people. Brighton, Wisconsin, population of 600, saying these ordinances must be repealed immediately because they're unlawful and they would cause severe damage to wind energy systems. You've got this going on in Wisconsin. Then I see also in the state of Michigan, you've got this Green Charter Township in Michigan have rescinded an approval for this water line that Goshen, a subsidiary of Chinese-based Goshen High Tech, needs for its planned electric vehicle battery component plant near Big Rapids in north central Michigan. Why is it the common denominator here? We're seeing communist China in Ohio, where you were just, in Wisconsin, in Michigan. We've seen them trying to buy lands near, you know, farmlands in places, north and south Dakota and in other locations as well. Shouldn't radar be going off of public officials, let alone the population?
Well, that's what you would think, but in most of these cases, they're seeing dollar signs. Now, in Michigan, they did have an election, and they cleaned out all of the original supervisors who gave the property for this Chinese plant there.
Mm-hmm.
It's to build batteries for the electrical vehicles, and. Of course, the Chinese then companies started yelling they were going to sue, and one of the township supervisors, the new ones, said, "As township supervisor, my number one concern is protecting the interests of the people of Green Charter Township, and we will vigorously defend our township's position in this. We might be a small community, but we refuse to be bullied." And that's the attitude they've got to take. The people stood up and spoke and said, "We don't want this plant here."
Yeah.
And now here in Pataskala in Ohio, the people have stood up and said, "We don't want this." They held a town hall, and they had over 300 people there to, you know, protest this and fight it. And the mayor calls them all a bunch of nuts and has nothing to do with, you know, talking to them.
My.
So this guy has to be replaced.
You know, we have to talk about the impact of this mantra of climate change and how it's being ingrained in every aspect into people's minds. Yesterday was this solar eclipse across, you know, this stripe across the United States. And NBC used it as a means to deal with climate change, Tom. I mean, they conducted an interview with William Shatner, you know, from Star Trek, about the beauty of space and the eclipse. But the reporter asked if we shouldn't be more concerned about climate change than space exploration. And he said, he responded by saying, "Well, we can do both." But he said, "What's the purpose of going into space if you can't come back because of being overcome by the fumes?" Really, Tom?
I have seen several of them saying that the eclipse was the cause of it was climate change. You know, it's just people know nothing about science.
Yes.
And then, of course, this year the cicadas are going to come back as a regular kind of thing. Oh, that's because of climate change.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, here's one more. I mean, there's another eco-extremist who's running for the New Jersey Senate right now that made this bizarre claim on her X account blaming the earthquake out east on climate change. I mean, what kind of foolish thought is that? It happens to be on a fault line.
Yeah, exactly. That was your third thing. Yeah, exactly. I've got a report that I just got the other day that was very interesting. This whole thing with putting millions of acres of solar farms out there, solar panels in place. And this is a guy who has been a NASA scientist and other people, or other positions. He's had very, very scientific in his background. He says, solar farms will become thunderstorm and tornado incubators and magnets. He says that they convert zero of the UV light that hits them. The solar panels at best are 20% efficient. And he said at the same time, They are absorbing light. They are absorbing heat from the sun. They absorb heat, and it's radiated into the atmosphere. I mean, these solar—they're changing our environment with all of this stuff in there. And it's the solar farms that will create this weather phenomena and initiate and reinforce by land features that will blow, you know, the downwind, and you know, they'll help generate more heat. So, in other words, to save the environment and stop climate change, we're putting in millions of acres of these things that are going to change the environment and start climate change.
Yeah, it's like self-fulfilled prophecy. And, Tom, just last month we had Not the Bee reported 4,000 acres of solar panels destroyed in one Texas hailstorm, and now the locals are worried about the groundwater poisoning coming from these destroyed solar panels.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that we see, when you see millions of acres of these put in place, not only are they covering, you know, all that ground where nothing else can be, you know, that ground can't be used for anything else, but they have to clear trees in order to make room for it. Millions of trees are being cut down to set up these solar farms.
You know, it's like the inmates are running the asylum, Tom.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, what are they counting on here? We will have, they're covering over our food supply. They are taking away all of our energy. These solar farms and wind farms produce nothing. They're, you know, and yet we're going to turn everything over to electricity. We can't have any gas stoves or anything else. What this is all about is taking control of our economy, our whole system, our culture. And when you've got, and I've talked about this for 30 years, and I've been told that I am the crazy one, but the goal here is global governance. The United States was set up as one of the only nations on earth that really promoted private property, free enterprise, individual liberty. Our government, our Constitution was created to protect that. In almost every other country on earth, government decided what your rights are. Our Constitution, our system in this country was a problem for, in their way, to put in globalism. And so what they have done through all of this, what they're doing to the kids in school, what they're doing to all of our energy and our whole system, our enterprise system and everything, is to destroy all that and make us subjective to all these forces.
And what's really being targeted are those words, we the people, are they not?
Absolutely. That's radical to say that now, you know.
Yeah, indeed it is. Yeah. And friends, indeed, the United States has been unique from all other nations, but that's not good enough for this world and for the globalists and those pushing for this great reset. No, we must succumb and surrender our sovereignty for this world's system. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be looking at some other aspects taking place. For instance, did you know that there's a green climate corps that's being put together by the Biden administration? Yeah, we can't get enough troops for our military forces, but my oh my, we can sure have a green climate corps. We'll have more information after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where is the Garden of Eden today?
Chris, we don't know. The location of the Garden of Eden is forever lost. After Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, God placed an angel to guard the entrance so that no one could go there again. There is no such place on earth that's guarded by a fearsome angel. The Bible does tell us, however, that in the days of Noah, the world was totally restructured by that great flood. All landmarks of the previous world were destroyed. The earth was completely restructured by that flood, so we wouldn't expect to find the Garden of Eden. While the names of the rivers that are given in Genesis do correspond to modern-day river names, they don't actually correspond to any known rivers. Chris, let's go back to Genesis and think carefully about what it teaches there.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
Listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Tom DeWeese is with us from the American Policy Center, talking about the weaponization of energy and property rights. Yeah, weaponizing them against you, we the people, against the American people, and how that leads toward a dictatorial state, which, friends, ultimately it is that of control and is removing your personal freedom away from you, your personal private property rights, your individual freedom, and that includes your religious freedom. That includes your free exercise of speech as well. These are all targeted by this movement. Tom, these are all really linked together, really striking at our First Amendment rights.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they've got to do everything they can to stop any of us who are speaking out against this. They're trying to criminalize that. And there actually has just been a court case that took place in D.C. A few weeks ago, and Michael Mann, who's one of the so-called climate scientists, he created that hockey stick chart that shows violent rise in climate change that way, and it's been debunked several times. And he took a couple of scientists to court, saying that they had damaged his reputation and so forth. And the judge, as the jury was preparing to deliberate on the merits of the case, the judge told the jury in so many words that it must protect society from questioning climate change. It's so important.
Right.
Now, they were going in to decide what to do here. They ended up awarding him $1 million in damages on this. But what's really scary about this, not only attack on free speech, but Senator Ted Cruz now is probing a plan by one of these green NGOs. They're looking to assure similar results in courts against any climate deniers who speak out against their policies. There's an NGO called the Environmental Law Institute, and they have a project called Climate Judiciary Project, and they are working to quietly train judges nationwide on climate change litigation.
My. Yeah. So we haven't seen the half of what's to come yet on this issue. Tom, the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal is indicating that President Biden is shrinking our real army, but is arming a political climate corps, a domestic green climate corps, wanting to mobilize more than 20,000 initially, but grow this to 50,000 by 2031. AOC and others want to see that go into the millions, but they're going to learn to install electric heat pumps and solar panels, EV charger stations, pollution monitoring equipment, fight forest fires, do wellness checks on the elderly during heat waves, and on the list goes.
Yeah. And what are they going to do when they put all these projects in place and none of it works?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work. They have done other things like this, trying to enforce communities and developers and so forth to put some of these projects, these policies in place, and they don't work. They are massively expensive, and they're not producing any energy, and certainly we're not going to produce any food. I did figure out one thing, though. We're talking about the solar farms and nothing growing underneath there, and the truth is bugs grow underneath there.
Mm.
Now I figured out why they call them solar farms.
Oh.
They're growing our next meal underneath.
My. That's a frightening thought there. Another aspect of targeting energy, Tom, has been the aggressive fight against the export of liquefied natural gas. And the actions by the Biden administration are actually bolstering our enemy nations. And they're bringing in vast sums of money because of the U.S. scaling back.
Well, yeah, and this is the thing. The Chinese, while they are pushing in this country, putting all these policies in place, destroying our energy system, they are opening coal mines daily. And, if you look at the the real reports on pollution worldwide, the Chinese are number one. We are clear down to nothing at the bottom. And yet they are pushing these policies through the UN, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, and pushing all this on us. So it goes back to what I was saying about they have to destroy our system to make us subjugated to, you know, to all this stuff that they're doing.
Let's hit the electric vehicles, because the Biden administration is just not deterred by Americans who are rejecting and refusing to buy electric vehicles. But instead, the Biden administration is putting in more mandates. I mean, the EPA finalized emission standards in late March for light-duty vehicles that would effectively require 67% of new models sold to be electric or hybrid by the end of 2032 in hopes of speeding up this EV transition to reduce carbon emissions. Tom, this is outrageous.
Absolutely. And there's another side to this as well. The Democrats pushing all this, putting all this in place, are always telling us that they are the supporters, the protectors of the poor, and so forth. Take a look at what will happen to low-income people, the poor people in this country, who maybe have a gas-powered car that, you know, maybe it's not all the greatest in the world, but it gets them where they need to go. And they are going to be banned, and they're told that they've got to buy, what, a $50,000 electrical vehicle to replace that. You talk about subjugating people and destroying their lives and their hopes and their dreams, and that's exactly what they're going to do here. They aren't caring about anybody. It's just their political agenda.
And really, again, this is an attack on personal privacy and property rights as well, because the goal is really not to have you own this, but multiple people to own a single vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. They have no intention of replacing all gas-powered cars with electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be just a tiny little minority of them, the other people who have a car. They're going to have either, like you say, ride-sharing or whatever, or they're going to have public transportation. That's going to be your only choices. You won't be allowed to have a car. You won't be able to have a car.
Well, a little bit of sanity transpired here just recently. I see a federal judge in Kentucky struck down a Biden administration rule that would require states to measure and report the greenhouse gas emissions from any vehicles traveling on the national highway system. I mean, the decrees are outrageous.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, the state legislatures could stop this. But they're going right along with it. You know, I've been in the forefront of trying to fight the carbon capture pipelines up in Iowa and South Dakota, North Dakota, and
mm-hmm.
so forth. And there have been legislators there who have been trying to do the right thing. Their county commissioners trying to do the right thing. People are standing up, screaming bloody murder over it all. And yet you've got majorities in those legislatures. You've got governors. It's shocking to know that Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, that most people see as a great conservative leader, is blocking the way of stopping these things being put in place, taking private property and eminent domain use, so forth, for private companies. And it's shocking to really, you know, when you begin to learn what they're actually doing there. This could be stopped at the local and the state level.
Friends, we're going to certainly get to a point of hope here today. Tom's going to have some helpful information for us, but we want you to understand the gravity of the issue. And Tom, again, there's mandates coming from President Biden about on diesel-fueled rigs, also very troubling, that would require 25% of new semi-trucks or similar heavy-duty vehicles to be electric by the year 2032. I mean, we are just less than 8 years away from that. This is really going to impact the transport of goods in a very negative way. You thought we had supply chain issues before. Wait till this hits, Tom, especially with winter weathers and the cold weather shutting these rigs down, not to mention the fact that how long is it going to take to charge the batteries to make one of these things go, especially in cold weather?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, how many billion dollars was it that they earmarked for building the chargers? And they've built like 10 of them or something like that. And they're not even building them. And yet we're going to go to that where we have to have the chargers. So
yeah,
it's government at work again.
Tom, you have written also that there is just so we don't think it's out there and it's political, you've written that there's a green invasion of churches and churches partnering in. What's going on with that?
Well, this goes clear back into the early 2000s, late 90s. There are NGO organizations that have brought the green message. They will get pastors, they will get priests, they will get rabbis, and bring them into these meetings and talk to them about how you know, we've got to protect, you know, God's creation. And they literally know how to write sermons based on each, you know, each church affiliate has a different way of approaching it, whether it's Catholic, Jewish, or, you know, whatever. And but they can write the sermons in their language. And what you really end up having are pastors getting into the pulpit and preaching pure paganism on this, on supporting, you know, the earth.
Yeah.
And we also, I also had a few years ago, one of the Christian bookstores, they were selling a publication for children to teach children games, and one of them had to do with tree hugging, and you blindfold the child and go over and hug a tree, and then take the blindfold off and see if they can figure out which tree it was they were hugging, that kind of thing.
Right.
Being taught.
Well, Tom, we've spoken on a lot of issues that are going on, and there's so many more. We're just talking about the electrifying the truck industry, and just the news reporting could cost $1 trillion to do this, and that's going to burden consumers because that price is going to be put on to goods and services. That issue is going on. A state of Virginia, just the news is also reporting that they're putting in a major offshore wind project, and developers' activities, not only are they creating lots of noise putting this in, but vibrations. Residents in a Virginia Beach neighborhood are finding their walls are cracking in their home as a result.
Yeah. And what they're finding is, of course, the whales are coming up, floating up on shore, washing up worse than they've ever done. Fishermen are finding that the usual places where they would go to fish, the sea life is moving away from these solar panels. And it's become a major, major crisis.
One other crisis that's going on, and this, again, attacks the personal private property, Tom, and that is the so-called squatter rights. Comment on this, if you would. I mean, there are people whose properties are being taken from them by squatters who are living there illegally.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you go to buy a house, I mean, how thick is the stack of papers that you have to sign to show that it's yours? And yet, here are these people who wander into your home. You may be on vacation somewhere, and you come home and you find these people in there, and it's somehow illegal for you to try to get them out of your home.
Yeah.
You know, how is it possible that government could look at this and say, well, we don't know who owns this. You know,
mm-hmm.
Here's the mortgage payment, you know.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just outrageous that they can do that. But this is the absolute destruction of private property. And you're going to see the day come, as they put all this stuff in place, that they're going to look at your home and they're going to say, you could put two more families in your home, so you're going to take those. They've already are using this argument in communities where you have single-family neighborhoods that have zoning protections so that you can't put businesses and high-rises and so forth in there because it would damage your property value. They are already removing that. The argument that they use is, here are two people living in this home. It's got a backyard, it's got a front yard, a driveway, and only two people living there. We can put 400 families in there if we build a high-rise.
My. Friends, we're going to take a quick break. But what can you do? How can you deal with these issues? So, a message of hope following the break. Tom DeWeese with us from American Policy. .org, AmericanPolicy.org, the American Policy Center. We'll be right back here on Crosstalk.
The modern state of Israel has been a nation for over 70 years. When she was formed, most Christians believed there was a real connection with what was going on in the Middle East and Bible prophecy that predicts an end-time return of the Jews to their land. In recent years, a noticeable decline has occurred, especially among young evangelicals who question whether modern Israel really relates to end-time Bible prophecy. In the book, The Case for Zionism, author Tommy Ice answers many of the contemporary arguments being used against Israel. He brings together the biblical, historical, and legal arguments for her existence and the prophetic nature and future of Israel. Dr. Ice lays out the case why Christians should support Israel. VCY is offering The Case for Zionism as our way of saying thank you for a donation of $16 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
The weaponization of energy and property rights, our topic today. Tom DeWeese is our guest from the American Policy Center. Their website, AmericanPolicy.org. Now, Tom, you've got helpful information on your website. You have a newsletter that's available there. We're going to be providing some information and hope here for individuals and what they can do. But just before we get into that aspect, let's also just point out that there are those who are just engaged. I mean, we have seen priceless artwork that has been targeted by I'll use the term eco-zealots. We also have those that are blocking roadways to stop people from traveling, not realizing that if we stop them on the road, all these idling vehicles are going to be sitting out here on this road, putting more pollutants into the air, plus they have their trip before them. Just comment on what we see in some of these extreme measures, the eco-zealots that are at work here.
Yeah, first of all, let me just say that, you know, these young people who are doing this are victims of it. And the whole education system is basically designed to turn them into global village idiots. And they just think, oh, this is what we have to do. You've got this group, Stop Oil, and you've seen the videos on TV, I'm sure, of these guys who just assume this passive attitude, and they're sitting there on the ground and on the highway in front of the cars. They have their signs out there and everything. People get angry. They get out of their cars, go up, and they start ripping the signs out of their hands, and they grab them by the scruff of the neck and pull them to the side, and they just get up and walk right back and sit down again, and, you know, blocking the roads. And as you said, I mean, these cars sitting there, what do they accomplish? What they're trying to do is make it so you don't want to get in the car. It's too difficult to do that. And
how did they get there, by the way, in the middle of the highway?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then you've got this group, Declare Emergency, that are leading the attacks on precious art. That they're claiming that we spend money worshiping the past rather than focusing on stopping climate change. And in the past year, these guys have defaced Da Vinci's Mona Lisa, Degas's Little Dancer, Monet's Haystacks, and they hate our society, free enterprise, all of that. And most recently, just a couple months ago, two activists from Declare Emergency charged into the United States National Archives.
Yep.
And they, that's where our original copies of the Declaration and Constitution are. And they smeared red powder on the glass covering the Constitution. And then they said, we are determined to foment a rebellion. We all deserve clean air, water, food, and a livable climate.
Yeah, just messed it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tom, let's talk about the hope here. Can this be fought against? Yes, we know we are to be good stewards. The scripture tells us that, but not to the point where the earth has domination over mankind. Man is to dominate over the earth itself. So what can we do?
Yeah. Where you have people owning private property, you have people taking care of the property. They care about it. When you have government bureaucrats who get their paycheck no matter what, that's when you have all this stuff that's just falling into disrepair and what we get. We can fight back, and I've been working with people all over the country. First of all, CFAC that I'm working with, Committee for Constructive Tomorrow, have been fighting these offshore wind towers, particularly pointing out how they, you know, we got to save the whales because what's happening with it. Just a few weeks ago, CFACT filed a suit against the state of Virginia to stop its plans for offshore wind farms. And what's interesting is that we're seeing some of the companies that were going to, corporations that were going to, be contracted to build these things are backing off from it. We've actually been successful in stopping about a third of the plans for offshore solar farms and stuff. So that is that's a beginning on it. In communities, if we, you know, so we've talked about a couple of communities where people stood up. We have to do that. If you look at this and say, there's nothing we can do, they're too powerful, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yep, you're right. Nothing's going to happen. You're going to lose everything. But I tell my audiences this across the country, these forces putting these things in place are absolutely terrified that the average people out there, the regular people living, are going to figure it out. And it's happening. We're seeing many, many more people stand up. We've got to organize properly to do that. You can't go in there by yourself and try to turn city council around and so forth. They have got to feel some pain. They've got to feel maybe made responsible for their actions. And you do that. I called it creating a freedom pod in your nation, in your community. And you force it right there. You can also affect, as you do this, your state legislatures. They have all got to know that you're there. The problem is we haven't been there. Oh, I don't want to go to city council. I got a family to raise. I got a job to do. The non-governmental organizations, there are 20,000 of them in the world who are dedicated to pushing these things in place, are there all the time. And that's why your city councils don't listen to you. You've got to organize in such a way that they will feel you. And you've got all of the arguments there, your property, your ability to eat, your ability to get energy. These are all things that are your right in this country to have. We've got to change the debate. And one of the some of the groups I was working with in Ohio, that's what we're working on, in changing the debate. And there's one area there, Belmont County, where they've taken over 28,000 of their acres in their county to turn it into a wildlife refuge, and it's not paying any taxes, they're not building any roads, you know, the people are really suffering from it, and they are now, the folks there are now showing state legislators how free enterprise and private property ownership can completely turn around the economy there and improve the quality of life. These are the kind of things we need to do. I'm working on trying to build more tools and more tactics for people so we can help them to organize, because I know it's intimidating to try to start this, but we have to. And as somebody said the other day, every day is 1776.
Wow.
We've got to fight.
Tom, for those, and you put out email releases, how can our listeners subscribe to your articles and things that you put out?
Yeah. Go to our website at AmericanPolicy.org, and there is a place on there where you can just give us your email address, and we send out reports and information, what's going on. We have lots of articles that come out with the details and what's going on. And we have on our website a place there called Freedom Pods, and there is a map there that shows where we've got some people working. I'm working now to get all of that updated and make it much more effective than it has been. And watch it, join us, and we're gonna improve it, and we're gonna help you organize. We are not looking to create chapters and things like that. If you've already got your own local organization, little group of people and stuff, we don't want to control you. We just want to help you. Mm-hmm. We want to give you the information you need to be effective.
Again, AmericanPolicy.org. You can sign up for their emails, AmericanPolicy.org. Our phone number to Crosstalk today, your questions and or brief comments, 1-800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Friends, this impacts you in many ways, and I'm thinking even of national security. Tom, due to the high cost of energy that's been foisted on by this administration that's cut back all this drilling and fracking, I mean, we were once energy independent under the last administration, but now Wisconsin right now just had a story about the Biden administration now canceling the replenishment of our strategic oil reserves because of the high cost of putting those back up. This is to help us in the time of national emergency. And then not only that, but thanks to what's going on with this and our cutback of oil, guess who's profiting? Iran. They have reached, thanks to the Biden administration, Iran's oil exports are now reaching in the last 12 months some $35 billion.
Yeah, and of course we have this Middle East war going on right now, and any day that could turn a situation into where you think that oil prices are high now. They could absolutely skyrocket from there. If they're totally shut off, we don't have any of our own domestic, and we're totally dependent on them, and they're completely unstable. Anything can happen when that's the situation.
Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Last fall, my home insurance carrier merged with another. So we went to the meeting, and everything in the meeting was about climate change. And I could not get them to understand that, you know, if a sheet of plywood cost $27 2 years ago and now it costs $57, it was the increase in the inflation that was causing the problem, not climate change, but they were married to climate change.
Yeah. Good observation there, Tom. And Tom DeWeese, even what they're doing in Canada right now with these carbon taxes that is being foisted by Canada's leader, Trudeau.
Yeah, all of this adds to the cost, and these corporations are going along with this. There is tax money that has been created if they play ball and do exactly what the gentleman says about, you know, pushing climate change on everything. They're getting money in their pockets for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some cases, they don't even care if they've got customers. You know, they go along with it.
And, friends, it's hitting us everywhere. I mean, when our waters in Lake Michigan are up higher than average, it's due to climate change. When they go lower than average, it's due to climate change. Everything is being blamed on so-called climate change. Tom, when we have, this was the warmest month or this was the fourth highest month, warmest month in March history or whatever they may say, it tells me that there have been months in previous years that have been warmer yet.
Absolutely. In fact, I just saw a video on this. In the 1930s, the United States was much warmer than it is now. But they never talk about that.
No.
They actually start in the 40s if they want to talk about the numbers.
Let's go to Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. Obama, who the White House, who the New York Times has said is in constant contact with the White House daily, he had come out with a statement saying Americans must get used to living like the rest of the world. And he's probably meaning third world.
Yeah.
But I'd like your guest to comment, if he would, a little bit on the 15-minute cities that they're trying to propose. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And let me just say, as far as Mr. Obama would be talking, we should be living like the rest of the world, except for us living on Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, and all the other managers that he's got.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I want to know how many people that we can, the homeless people we can get to live in all the mansions he owns. That's the kind of thing we need to start.
Mm-hmm.
The 15-minute cities, what this is really about, and smart growth is the background to it, we've been fighting for years, this drive to build these massive high-rises, stop people from living in the suburbs because you have to drive a car there. The idea is that everybody lives within very close relationship with each other, and you don't have to drive anywhere. That's what they mean by 15-minute cities. And you're all just crowded right there together. Now, if you've seen those photographs of these massive high-rises in China that go clear up into the sky, thousands and thousands and thousands of people living there, this is what they've got in mind for all of us to do.
Yeah.
There'll be no private property. Private property ownership not only is a means of freedom to how you live, but it's also a means for average people to build wealth through private property ownership. That's why the United States got as wealthy as it did so quickly, and they're working to destroy it.
And we think of these Chinese high-rises during COVID where people were going up many, many floors up into the sky yelling, "We need food, we're out of food," as they were confined to their quarters. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Ramadan was observed in the Muslim world, and in Dearborn, Michigan, a couple Islamists got up and gave a speech at a big event. And what were they doing? They were calling for the destruction of Israel and America. They literally were chanting death to Israel. Then they chanted death to America. And one of the Islamic speakers called for the complete collapse of the American system. He sounded like a Marxist. He sounded like somebody from the Weather Underground. But my friends, this is the point. This is why the Islamist, represented by the green and their Islamic jihadi flags, and the red of Marxism are working together. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And now the Islamists and Marxists are openly calling for death to America and the collapse of our free society.
By the way, friends, talking even about the price increases, just before coming in the studio, we received a press release from the Postal Service. Yeah, that price increase that we had for stamps in January, well, it's just not high enough because the proposal is for January 14th for that hike to go up another 5 cents, whereas your current 68-cent stamp is planned to go up to 73 cents. And so keep that in mind. Also, we understand the largest U.S. fresh egg producer halted production at a plant destroying nearly 2 million chickens, Tom, after we have this disease hitting, the bird flu and all the destruction of eggs, chickens, and even those future laying hens as well.
You know, Jim, I've said for years that, the tactic in all of this to get us to comply is fear. And, of course, climate change has been the fear tactic that they've used all this time. Then they do the pandemic, and they learned how they can get us all to subjugate ourselves. And now on our food supply and so forth, now with this bird flu thing, this is the latest fear tactic that they're using. There's probably no proof whatsoever behind that, but they get people to comply to it anyway.
And they're saying it's spreading to other animals, folks. Hang on to your pocketbook. Meat prices, et cetera, continue to rise. Josh in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hey, just wanted to bring up a little point about the fact that we have localized weather modification happening right here in the state of Wisconsin. Every county in Wisconsin issues weather modification permits, and that's localized weather modification, but nobody's bringing it up whatsoever. So I'd like to maybe see if anybody's going to talk about that side of things. It only costs $100 for a weather modification permit, yet, we're calling for globalized climate change.
Okay. Tom, are you familiar with this program at all?
No, I have not heard about that. I'd like to learn more.
Okay. Dodge County issues permits for $100 apiece annually for localized weather modification. Jefferson County, where we just had that tornado in the middle of February, all of that stuff is localized, generated by chemtrails, which everybody seems to kind of ignore.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who do they issue the permit to?
Anybody, any private aircraft, any national aircraft. If you look up on the NOAA, what is that, the National Oceanic and Aeronautic Association, .gov, they have weather modification programs and full web pages dedicated to it, yet nobody seems to pay any attention to the fact that you can locally modify the weather to whatever temperature, whatever scenario you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
We'll look into that. Absolutely.
Yeah, modify. Yeah, we're having company over. Let's heat up the backyard for 5 extra degrees today.
There you go.
Carol in Buckeye Lake, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to call because I live about 30 miles east of Pataskala, and we just received a letter March 22nd saying there was they were happy to announce the selection of D Energy as a preferred electric supplier for our county, which includes all 6 villages, and you have to opt out by April 12th or you're automatically put in this thing. And we've had AEP for years, and I just wondered if this has something to do with those solar panels in Pataskala that they're wanting to put in.
I'm happy to talk to you, by the way, from Buckeye Lake. I've been there. I was just there the other day. There are connections to all of this. There are links, and it may not always be obvious, but step by step, these energy companies are buying into all the solar panels and all that, and You know, they know their power grids are going to be destroyed if anything happens here. Eventually, that's what's going to happen. But they just keep moving forward anyway. And so, yeah, I know there's a connection there. I can't tell you specifically all there, but I've seen it happen in so many other places.
Yeah, I just wondered if I should opt out and stay with AEP.
Absolutely.
I thought maybe all of us should try to push back on.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Let's go to Mesa, Arizona. Gary, you're on the air.
Thank you for having this guest on the air. They had very, very deep, deep dive on this issue. My question is there a link to what's going on here to SEG environmental investments? So some states have opted out of this because they're diverting money for the so-called greening sensation that's going on right now. If you have something on that, because several states, Arizona and Texas, naming two, have opted out of this type of investment because it's being used to support this climate change nonsense. Web, I want to know if he's heard about it.
Okay,
absolutely. The SEG is behind all of this. That stands for social, like social justice, environment, and government. That's what SEG means. And the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, moving to on Wall Street, that they grade corporations on what their climate emissions and their dedication to SEG and all of that is. And he flat out says if they don't work and comply with this, they will not be invested in. And that is beginning to take hold on Wall Street right now. So it's a huge issue right there.
Thank you, Gary. We're going to squeeze one last call in. Joe in South Wayne, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for your programming first. And I'd like to speak about what you can and can't do on your private property. I live in Lafayette County, and I've got 6 acres in acreage. When I bought it, the taxes were $500 a year. Now they're over $3,000. But they'll cut your taxes if you run cows on your property or have livestock on it. But I've got trees planted on mine, so it's counterproductive to run cattle over top of trees that you planted. And to talk to the tax man, he just smiles, and you know he's going to do what he wants to do. It seems that there's no alternative but to just do what they say. And
I'm going to have to cut you there because we're down to a quarter minute. Tom, your response to that statement, they want you to do what they say.
Well, that's why I say you can't fight them by yourself. You have got to begin to organize. You've got fellow neighbors who are running into the same problems. You need to start to talk with them. You need to start to put together a cadre of how to stand up. And I'm working to supply you with the means on how, to teach you how to do that. But that's what you've got to do.
Friends, you can sign up for Tom's emails at AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. Wish we had another hour today, but we're out of time. Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
And friends, thank you for staying informed. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.